They're known for their intricate arrangements, signature harmonies, the straddling of musical genres. Grizzly Bear have become one of the most exciting bands to watch and hear over the past decade. The New York-bred quartet emerged in the early 2000s at a time when a slew of other Brooklyn bands were riding indie rock trends promoted by the online hype machine. But Grizzly Bear forged their own path. Over the course of three records, the bandmates refined and revamped their sound, sometimes dreamy, sometimes daunting, but always on their own terms. And as their critical and commercial appeal has grown, they've also won a few famous fans along the way, including Radiohead, Jay-Z, and Paul Simon. But those endorsements hardly matter when you consider the strength of Grizzly Bear's latest offering. It's called Shields. The record has a heavier sound, peels back what the band has honed so well to reveal they have so much more up their sleeve. And today, Grizzly Bear join me here in Studio Q. Hello.
Hello.
Great pleasure to have you guys here.
We're thanks big fans. For having us.
It's such a powerfully good record. I'm going to let you play a song, and we can talk about it. What song are you going to kick it off with?
We're going to start with a stripped-down version of Yet Again.
All right. This is Grizzly Bear, live in Studio Q.
Done.
That's just so good. Performing the song yet again from their brand new record, Shields. That is the band Grizzly Bear from Brooklyn, New York. Come on over here, you guys. Ed, Chris, and Chris. That's Ed Droste on vocals. That was Daniel Rawson on acoustic guitar and vocals. That was Chris Bear on floor tom and vocals. Christopher Taylor on bass and vocals. And that was they were accompanied by Aaron Arntz on Wurlitzer and keyboards there. That sounded fantastic.
Thank you.
I just wanted that song to continue. You could have done the extended mix.
We need to electrify it to get the outro going.
Right. Let me get a bit of the backstory out, because this will be an introduction to some people across North America for you guys, even as accomplished as you are at this point. Ed, Grizzly Bear really truly began as your project. You were studying journalism and English at college, mm-hmm. but you turned to making music afterwards. So what pulled you in that direction?
I think that's sort of post-college confusion, where I was sort of disgruntled at my job and I was learning how to use the Pro Tools when I got one for home and just started fiddling around and making sort of what I call like cathartic diary entries, which ended up being the first album. I didn't really know what I was doing.
What was the job that was inspiring the ennui, or not inspiring the ennui?
Well, I mean, it was a perfectly good job, but I was working actually in radio and editing out all the ums and ahs of interviews, which was, you know, it can get a little monotonous, as someone in this building must know about.
You should have worked on cue, because they don't edit that out.
Oh, okay.
Hence the annoying sound of all my ums and ahs, yeah. Did you have any sense when you were starting off and working on Pro Tools and making that first record that this would be a career?
No, I was really, first of all, was totally filled with stage fright, had no idea. I just wanted to release it on a small scale, and I thought like 50 friends and family would buy it, which is literally basically what happened. And a small local label put it out, but I think what really started the band is once we tried to put a live show together. Chris Bear had joined me at the tail end of recording that we had met through a mutual friend, and he introduced me to Chris Taylor and then eventually Daniel, and then that's really when the band actually started.
Yellow House marked your coming out as a quartet in 2006, that record. The critical praise was overwhelmingly positive. It didn't mean overnight success for you commercially. Ed, you've expressed gratitude, happiness that Grizzly Bear did not make it huge with that record. Why?
I just think that a lot of, you know, the early stages of us booking our own tours, getting to know each other, going through the process of, you know, playing to very small, you know, 10 to 20 person audiences and sort of doing the whole DIY thing helped us sort of figure out what our sound was, because we weren't completely sure from off the bat, not to mention it was a really good way to get to know each other, obviously. I'm not sure we would have been super well equipped to deal with suddenly playing huge venues. I think we liked to take it gradually, and it felt natural to us. And had we been one of those hype overnight explosion bands, I don't know how we would have dealt with it.
Chris Taylor, how do you think if that had happened, it would have affected you musically? And do you agree with what Ed's saying about the slower growth?
Yeah, I mean, totally. I remember being, you know, overwhelmed even on our first tour, like a couple weeks in. You know, we were in Portland, and I was like, I think I gotta quit. And I called my friend who's in another band, and I was like, I think I have to quit. And he's like, you shouldn't do that. You have to just stick it through. I was like, okay, fine. And so,
why did you think you...
Because it's just hard. It's like, it's hard to be, you know, in a van with people, and you have pressure of playing a good show and, you know, also just coexisting with all these other folks and trying to feel happy and normal about it, because it's a pretty strange setup.
Some of your early success came when the indie music blogosphere was ballooning. I guess there's people, if you read about the story of Grizzly Bear, they credit Pitchfork's adulation as a driving force. Ed, how would you characterize the band's relationship with the digital world? Because you've said you have a love-hate relationship with the internet in the past.
I mean, I think I'm very grateful for where we are, and I think without the internet we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are, and I love that people share music and spread music around, and that it reaches people that don't have access or the funds to get a record. That said, you know, there is an element of like these new streaming sites that are kind of a bummer because it's sort of like a lost listen, or I feel like a YouTube view is more valuable sometimes than maybe like listening to it on a streaming service, because the streaming services really, they're tricky, and it's a long, complicated issue. And I feel like actually there's many, many sides to the story, right. And it would be too...
Okay. But just what do you mean by lost listen?
I just feel like there's a lot of gatekeepers in the music world that allow people in and out of opportunities. And I feel like people look at certain things as barometers of success. And I believe YouTube is one of the things that people look at. And so I would prefer...
Too much so.
Maybe too much so, but that is just the way it is at the moment. Right. You know, I would prefer, you know, it still doesn't, neither one really brings in any money. I'm just saying that it actually benefits the band more.
You guys go on to release Vicavitist in 2009, which is even more hailed by critics. It was one of our top five albums of the year on the Q Top 20 that year. It also sends you up the music charts in North America and Europe at the time. How did you feel about and deal with the increased interest and attention in Grizzly Bear? Chris Bear.
I mean, we felt really good about the record coming out, but we certainly didn't have any expectation that it was going to do that. It's felt very gradual for us. It never felt like all of a sudden there was a bomb of overwhelming pressure from outside. I think we've just been very steadily moving along and growing and...
The break that you guys took. So after touring that big album, you work on side projects. Ed, I know you got married.
Yeah.
It wasn't until midpoint last year, 2011, that you reconvened to work on Shields. But you scrapped a lot of the stuff, I heard, that you'd recorded at the first session last year in Texas. Why was that, Chris?
I think when we walked away from it, we were just sort of feeling like we weren't necessarily all on the same page with everything that we had worked on there. But we were getting a lot closer to honing in on what we were going to do and how we were going to work.
6 months later or so, you try again and the fire was relit and the collaboration is fruitful. When you have four cooks in a kitchen, how do you guys know when a song is a great Grizzly Bear song that you want to put on a record? What happens around that? Is there a conversation that happens?
It's a weird thing. It's just always unanimous. We just, this moment comes and we're like, yeah, that's done. Feels great. It's done. I don't know what it is.
Had a case where like one guy's song, he really liked it, but the other guys weren't as into it or something like that.
Well, no, there's cases like that, but they usually don't make it all the way to the like end stages. But that's part of the great part about being in this band is that everyone has a really strong opinion and like no one's left sort of completely to their own devices in the sense where they can just sort of do whatever they want and be sort of like the leader or dictator. And it's really important to have people poke and prod you and challenge you so that you're not maybe relying on past crutches,
right.
Or, you know.
Chris is making the same argument again.
Or
I've heard
like
this before.
You're singing a similar melody to something I've heard before, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Right, right. Well, you've done it again. It is a powerfully compelling record. I want to play just a little bit of it because you're doing sort of stripped down versions here. But let's just listen to a taste of the song Sleeping Ute. This is the first song on the new Grizzly Bear record. The album's called Shields. Take a listen to this song, Sleeping Ute.
We'll be right back.
Their brand new record, Shields. A little taste of Grizzly Bear with the song Sleeping Ute. This record, I'm here with Ed and Chris and Christopher here at the table of Grizzly Bear. This record takes a different musical direction than perhaps we expect to hear from this band. The use of harmonies is reduced, a little more selective. It does have a much heavier dynamic sound on a song like that. Chris Taylor, How did you approach Shields from a musical perspective? Was this a conscious change?
Yeah, definitely. We would find ourselves trying something that maybe we had tried before, like, you know, okay, this spot in the song, maybe like a harmony would make it better. Like, you know, we'll add some harmonies. We're like, no, that's just probably what we would normally do. Let's try and maybe find a more interesting solution, like something we wouldn't normally do. And then it would be a process of deciding what could have a similar effect and be represented by a different musical personality. So we really didn't want to make a record that sounded like our previous record. I think we were all kind of ready to like try moving on in kind of every direction.
I still feel like it sounds like us. I just feel like it's a different energy and sort of sensibility to it. And I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges with every single album we've ever done is to have a collection of songs that all four of us agree on and are excited about. So I think this is sort of where we found the middle point. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we kept gravitating to with, you know, amongst all those, you know, other songs that we scrapped, we kept coming back to these ones that had a little bit more of a charged energy and maybe more of a raw take, or, you know, breaking down the barrier of having so many layered vocals and sort of letting the listener in a bit more.
You're a really good band. And you're really nice guys who seem to get along with each other and respect each other, and you're building this canon of these great records. Chris Taylor, you've said you've cast uncertainty about whether Grizzly Bear will even make another record, and you said we're all aware of that. Why is that?
I think one of our strengths as a band is, and I think we've gotten even better at this, is actually just kind of recognizing what everybody needs to like just be generally happy. More and more, we're sort of just like, well, if we do another record, awesome. I couldn't imagine a better scenario. But if it doesn't happen, I think that we're all kind of just trying to like be like, well, you know, we are getting older, and maybe people want to have families and stay at home. I don't know. You know, we don't know. It's not to be negative. It's just to say that like I don't think we're like putting ourselves into a position where we're expecting to do another record. I think we're just kind of like really happy we did this one. And I think we're all super proud of it, and we're going to head out on tour and do the whole thing, and then
how will you finance your limos and indoor swimming pools?
How are we going to finance those? Layaway?
If you don't stay together,
we just put it on layaway. Just hope for
Costco.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We have that.
Hope Yellow House sales pick up. You know, maybe one day.
It's been such a pleasure having you here. I know you're going to play another song for us from the record. What's it going to be?
Half Gate.
All right. Head on over there. Thanks so much for being
Thanks
here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Performing a song from Shields called Half Gate. This is Brooklyn's Grizzly Bear live in Studio Q. All I, even if I stray, Live in Studio Q, performing the song Half Gate from their brand new record, Shields. That is Grizzly Bear, Ed, Daniel, Chris, accompanied by Aaron Arnst. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having us.
What a pleasure to have you guys here. Grizzly Bear, the new record is called Shields. It is out now on Warp Records. For tour dates and more, visit grizzly-bear.net. Grizzly Bear, I've been with me here live in Studio Q.